a Bible that you want to turn to, it's up toward the front, but it will be on the screen if you prefer to look at it there. This is a passage that I touched on briefly a few weeks ago, and it's been lingering on my mind to explore it today in this setting and at this time. And so let's look together at Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach to you, to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. And then in verse 4, we see the heart of what I'd like to focus on today. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Moses is in the midst of bringing God's covenant law to the people, and he's testifying to the weight and the importance of these laws that God is presenting to his people. As we consider the law that Moses is being delivering from God to the people, what does it tell us that was required? It tells us that it was required to have dedication to all of his commands for all of our days. And it was not only for them to dedicate themselves to God's law and his ways, his commands, but they were to teach them to their children as well. Those are the two things I'd like for us to consider for a few moments this morning. That is the Lord in my family life and the Lord in my own personal life. So who was the source of this law? Moses was speaking in the passage that we read, but Moses was not the source of this law, but it was God. He said, "This Lord is our God. The Lord is the one and only God." Moses knew that God was the one true God. As we read in the passage that we started the service today with, many would assert themselves as God and Lord and so forth in our world, but there is one who is the true God, one who is the capital G God, one who is the capital L Lord. It's not merely a title or something that we say about God. It's not enough just for us to say, yes, Jesus is the Lord, God is my Lord. Jesus Christ himself in the Sermon on the Mount said that there would be many who spoke those words in an empty manner. He said in Matthew chapter 7, 21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Moses is speaking words from God that bear a tremendous weight. These are God's laws. These are to be impressed upon your heart, and these are to be taught to your children. These are from the Lord, and to call him Lord is a weighty matter. Lord, calling him Lord comes with some requirements. Jesus said, as we read a moment ago, that it's the one who does the will of God the Father who calls him Lord. To call him Lord means that he has authority. He has authority. He is in charge. I don't get to submit to God and then run my own plans. I don't get to submit to God and then tell him how I would have things go. If he's Lord, he has authority. And that goes with the second part of him being Lord, is that we surrender our will to his. We surrender our will to his. Now, we as human beings, we have free will. We can make choices. We can do as we please. However, that often leads us away from God and into sinful behaviors. But him being Lord means that we surrender our will to his will. So let's talk about these two matters that are before us, the Lord in my family life and the Lord in my personal life. The passage today said clearly to teach these laws of God, teach what the Lord gives to our children. Verse 2 says the reason, again reading it, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give to you. And then in verse 7, the idea is reinforced of teaching our children. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Now, when I read that, that sounds to me like teaching about the Lord's commands in all places and in all kinds of times. It also speaks to me about the fact that this isn't implying a corporate gathering. This isn't implying things like Christian schools and Sunday schools and church being the sole nurturing of our children in the Lord. This is talking about the context of home. When you sit down, when you get up, when you lie down, when you walk along, this isn't the context of our homes. Now, folks, our church and Northbrook Academy do a fantastic job of teaching the Word of God. But that can't be the whole of the nurturing of our children. It can't be all upon Miss Andrea's shoulders or Miss Donna's shoulders or your Sunday school teacher's shoulders. Because the context here is that this is happening in homes where we're teaching our children God's law and God's commandments. It tells us that in order to do this, we must keep them close. They must be impressed upon our hearts. They must be on our hearts and impressed upon our children. It talked about tying them to the foreheads and so forth, keeping them close, keeping them always before us, knowing what the Word of God says and knowing how it impacts our life. The latter part of that verse where it talked about the doorposts and the gates reminded me of entry points into our homes. Have you ever had an unwanted visitor? I had an unwanted visitor this week. I was sitting in my chair, minding my own business, and a chipmunk went running through my living room. And I thought, what is going on? Well, come to find out the sprinkler guys had been there and left the back slider open, and so the chipmunk had helped himself into the house. Well, I managed to get him out, and, you know, I was afraid he was going to hide out on me, and I'd never see him again, you know. But anyway, I was able to get him out, but I recognized the connection between what was going on there and what I was studying for today, is that the door needs to be shut. The door needs to be, if you don't want an unwanted visitor, you got to watch over the door, don't you? The door needs to be closed, you know. And even aside from, I'm not paying to cool the outside, you know, all those kind of things. You got to close the door. You got to watch it. Folks, it's the same way with our children. Unwanted guests can come in through iPads and computers and television screens. They can come in through Facebook, Snapchat, those cute little pictures of the dog ears and nose and so forth. And then we learned this week that they've got an adult section that's horrible stuff to begin with, let alone making our children accessible to it too easily. We got to watch what we let come in. We got to protect those places where things come in with the truth of the Word of God. We got to impress on our children values that instill in them the ability to discern and to make choices that are God-honoring choices. It's going to take diligence. It takes intentionality, and it takes time. But isn't that what's asked of us? Impress these on your children when you're sitting down, when you're walking along, when you're lying down, when you're getting up. In all of what you do, impress God's word upon your children. That's our responsibility. But if we back up just a moment We have to have what it is we intend to pass along. It has to be not only Lord in my family's life, but it has to be Lord in my life. I have to have a personal knowledge of God's word, his laws and decrees, and personal love for him with all of my heart and with all of my soul and with all of my strength. That's when we realize there's a Lord in my personal life. I can't pass on to my children what I don't have of my own. That's when I hope that someone else does it, and that's not what's required here in God's word. When he is Lord, we obey his commandment, which is to love. He says to love with all of our heart and our soul and our strength, to love the Lord in that manner with all that we are. This is a verse that Jesus quoted. Jesus said in Matthew 22, he was asked this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets." Jesus was saying, this is the summation of what Moses is bringing down to you and the word that the prophets brought to you. This is the summation of that. Love the Lord with all that you are and love your neighbor. A life that is devoted to the Lord is one that's going to be characterized by that love. Let me ask you a couple of questions to consider. Is he your Lord? Have you given him authority to call the shots? Have you surrendered your will to his own? Have you taken that step to make him your Lord? Or how about this question? Is your heart full of love for him and for others? Before I finish today, I want to talk about one thing that I think happens. We get caught in middle ground. I think we get caught in middle ground. And that makes a really cool pop song, I know, but it's not cool with what we're talking about. We get caught in the middle of this. I admire the faith in my mom or dad or my grandparents. Let me put it this way. We love someone who loves the Lord with all their heart, soul, and mind. We love someone who loves the Lord that way. We know that our children have teachers that love the Lord that way, and we love them for it. We know that Grandpa was a godly man, and we love him and admire him for it. We know that Grandma was constantly in prayer for us. We love her and admire her for it. I've stood at too many funerals where in the casket was a godly Christ follower who was Grandma or Grandpa or Mom or Dad, and children gathered around who were far from the Lord. And why do I say we're in the middle? Because we have that admiration for our the ones in our life that love the Lord. We see that as important. We admire it in them. We know that it's valuable. But then we turn this direction, and we know that it's important for our children as well. We know that it's important that the Word of God is instilled in them and that they're taught godly character and godly truth that's going to shape them. But that leaves us standing in the middle. If we're standing in the middle, it's going to terminate with us. If we're standing in the middle and it's not our own, it's not going to get passed on as likely to our children. Verse 2 said that it's supposed to go from us to our children to their children. It's not supposed to terminate with us, but if we put it ourselves in the middle, it will. It can't be important for Grandma and Grandpa, Mom and Dad, and important for our children and not a priority for ourselves. We have to love the Lord with all of our heart, soul, and strength. The first step to Him being Lord is this. The first step to Him being Lord is to be your Savior. God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for your sins so that you can have new life. You can receive new life through Christ's sacrifice on the cross and by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. God loved us so much that He sent Jesus to die for every sin of every person. And through Christ's sacrifice, we can have new life and make Him Lord. After that first step, the second step is this. The next step to living with Him as Lord in your personal life is to connect with the church. Now, why connect to a church? Maybe you're thinking, I need to get my act together and then I'll go to church. I'm just a little too messed up to be in church. Matter of fact, Pastor Joel, I'm surprised the ceiling's not crumbling a little bit on my head right now. Can I tell you that we're not perfect people? Bethel was perfect until January, and that's when I got here. No, I'm just teasing. We're not perfect people, but we are forgiven by a perfect God. We are offered a relationship with a God who is holy and perfect, whose Spirit helps us to become more like Christ, and who cleanses us and makes us new creations through Jesus Christ. So we're not perfect, but we are a place where you'll get to know God more. Your understanding and knowledge of Him will grow. We're a place where your family can grow. You can walk shoulder to shoulder and side by side with others who are trying to impress these truths on their children. Side by side with people who are trying to strengthen their marriages. We're working on plans in the fall for some seminars for parenting and for marriage. So be watching. Publicity for those will be coming your way. Church also offers you a place to make a difference. A place where not only can we become new creations and be redeemed, but we can spread that hope to the world together. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. He has to be our Lord. We have to surrender to Him. We have to surrender our will to Him. He has to be our Savior in order to be our Lord. And we can do that together in strength. If you don't have a place that you call your church home, I would love to have you consider Bethel. I trust that you felt the Lord's presence here today. You've heard Him speak to your heart through His word. Could I pray as we finish this portion? Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You. Let me just personally say thank You for my grandparents and my mom and dad who impressed the importance and the truth and the weight of Your word on me. And I thank You for Your new life that You give me through Jesus Christ. I thank You for the opportunity to impress the Word of God upon Parker, my son. And I pray that we would all take hold of this challenge today. Let us not get caught in the middle, admiring faith that's gone before us and hoping that faith establishes itself in our children while we sit and try to get our act together. Lord, You can help us with that. You want to be our Lord as well. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for Northbrook and its ministry. We thank You for its children and the exciting things that they're going to share today about the fruit of the Spirit and such things that are so important. My last part of this prayer is don't allow us to be deceived that these are things for children. Fruit of the Spirit is for us as well. Help it to be produced in us through Your power. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Donna,